Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
.10:58, hour number two. I am Ron, the show Hughley, and Vern just got off because his childhood idol was on television.
Tram.
Alan, damn it. I was just about to try to pick a push to the people listening. Do you think you can guess who Vern's childhood love affair was, an athlete was? But it is Alan Tram.
Or Steve Young.
Probably doesn't deserve to get in the hall, but he got in. And Steve Serta, producing this bad boy.
That just shows your lack of baseball knowledge on display early on a Tuesday.
Alan probably, just hall of very, very good.
You don't know what you're talking about. Stick to Queen, Joe.
I love Queen, man. I can't get off of it.
I'm with Joe on this.
You're the one. Didn't you say you don't even know who Alan Trammell is?
I'm with Joe on this one. Nice job.
How about Steve. That? Yeah.
Nice job.
Alan. They sure as hell made Alan wait a long time, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
This year has not been a great year for Kansas basketball, especially on the court and off it, be honest with you. And when you look at the Silvio D'Souza stuff that has fallen down, and once again, this is at least 2 years in a row, you can think of other moments where kids are getting screwed over in a major way, and no one from the coaching staff or anybody connected with Kansas are getting screwed. Or any kind of punishment whatsoever. Cliff Alexander, we got Josh Selby, all the way through.
So Billy. Many.
Preston last year. Yeah, so many. But this is what they're doing and what's potentially happening, how they're pushing this with a Gerald Vick, is as disgusting. Like Bill Self, listen, Bill Self is one of my favorite coaches, and I understand the game. A lot of them are playing. Everyone's cheating, and I'll step right out here and say it. I'll say seatbelts, but Coach K's cheating. We know Calipari's cheating. Self's cheat. They're cheating. It's the game. But what, to me, isn't the game is how they have handled Legero Vick, right? If Legero Vick is suspended off of this team, because if you're watching the West Virginia game, Fran Fraschilla, on multiple occasions, there was a Ringer article that was out, multiple occasions stating that he doesn't believe that LeGerald is going to return to the team. And then pushing forward, boy, they're playing so much, with so much joy and so much happier. And then you hear Bill Self, who's like a 19-year-old, subtweeting, hey, the last 2 weeks I haven't had as much fun coaching this team. It's been so much more fun with this team. And this team has positive attitudes. Man, if you want him off the team, and if he's the reason, say it. Or at least give us conduct detrimental to the team is why he's off. Like from everything that we've gathered to know, because Kansas ain't saying very much, is that he just is taking a leave of absence. And then it was reported that his mother said that, hey, he is needed home in Memphis. So it's coming off as to be like there's something going on where he needs. So if there's something going on, which what you're trying to portray, don't make it and push it as if everything that happened before you played the three worst teams in the league and got wins, everything that happened before that has been his fault. And Bill Self will get the benefit of the doubt, even though he's been potentially sleazy. Whether it's the game or not, how this has come down, he'll suspend LeGerald, or suspend or take Charlie Moore out of a game because he was late to class. But Curtis Townsend, who he knows is connected with Adidas, has not missed a day. So, like, this is becoming really gross to me how it looks like they're setting up for this kid who I have felt from the jump Bill Self has just really just used this kid when he's needed him. He told a kid who was a junior who had a chance to graduate college, go to the NBA. That wasn't a good decision. Nobody knew he wasn't going to get drafted. That wasn't a good decision. He's played his last game, almost forcing him, and then looking at the roster and saying, well, maybe we could use LeGerald. All right, you can come back. But now placing blame on him after he's on a leave of absence is what you've told us. Not anything that he's done conduct to the team, but that a leave of absence. It is gross to me how they're potentially putting this on this kid. And I don't say right now, I don't think he's perfect. I think he can be flighty on the court. I think he probably is not the greatest leader. I don't think you have him on the team to be your leader, even though he is a senior. But to place blame on this, to say, now look how they're playing better, man, you made a lineup change that you should have made weeks ago. You stopped playing four guards. Like, the second half against K-State, after Mitch Lightfoot had 6-5 in the first half, you didn't play him a second.
Yeah, I still think you're being a little mild with this. I mean, I appreciate you as a KU fan saying this, but with the things...
Oh, you think I'm being too soft?
Yeah, the things you said about the Kansas City Chiefs and the way that they handled Eric Berry, the way that they handled Marcus Peters, the way that they've handled some of their big-name guys over the years, you went in on them and really called them on the carpet. I think what Bill's doing is even worse than what Clark and Andy did with Eric and what they did with Marcus. We're talking about a 22-year-old with all we know is that he's needed at home according to his mother. They're presenting it as a personal matter. You know, we hear so often when I bring up Silvio or we talk about Billy Preston or Cliff Alexander. So when we talk about these athletes, the kids are the ones to blame for accepting a handout from a knowing adult like the assistant coach, like a Bill Self. You know, athletes don't need to be paid because of the scholarship, the room, and board. They often tend to leave out the fact that if you're possibly doing something to upset the coach, we'll just send you home and make it seem like you have a personal issue and we don't want you around anymore. You tend to leave that out. You tend to leave out the fact that Silvio D'Souza has not been treated like a human being, has been used as a negotiating tool with the NCAA. They will sit him out well before you hand out some sort of punishment as a precursor to that punishment. So maybe you'll look upon us a little bit more fondly because we've admitted our wrongdoing and we've sat him down. The way that Bill Self has handled things the past few years as he attempts to make up on misses on the recruiting trail or just falling short on the recruiting trail, the way that he has tried to circumvent things has really exposed him to be just as dirty, just as sleazy.
That's what I said. I think
as a Clark Hunt, as an Andy Reid, as true professional businessmen. He's supposed to be looking out for the well-being of 18 to 22-year-olds, and he's only looking out for his own well-being, and it's sad at a public university. So, yeah, I think you should be a little bit harsher, although there's a part of me that does look forward to watching you from this side of the table watch you fall out of love with Kansas basketball. The last bastion of fandom that Ron the Show Hughley has, I do think over the next few years that will be ripped from.
Well, listen, like I said, man, I have no problem telling you. I've said it. If you don't feel like I've been hard enough, that's fine. I mean, I didn't call him sleazy. I didn't call him cheating. Like, the stuff with with Billy Preston and now Silvio and all this stuff and them not getting punished at all and nothing happening with Curtis Townsend. Vern, look, that stuff to me is sleazy as all get out. But that is the point where I know everyone's doing it, right? I know everybody is doing that. This seems personal with this kid. it feels like he and the Kansas program have just used him when they needed him. Like that part, the part that really sticks in my craw is the one of, hey man, how many opportunities does Lyle Vick have a chance to graduate college, right? And you're supposed to be helping him make a good decision. You know, going to the NBA was not a good decision for him. Coming back there, potentially finishing his degree and you pushed him to go do that in a place where he wasn't going to get drafted. Like that part was the start for me where I felt iffy on the situation. And in here, like, trust me, I believe this in my heart. I don't think Fran Fraschilla is just saying stuff to be saying it, Vern. I think Fran Fraschilla has talked to somebody. And if that cat doesn't play again this year, because right now it's not, he's even hiding around. And to me, what I believe is almost a punkish move. He's hiding around the fact of he's off and he's got a leave of absence. Not that he's suspended. Because at least if you tell me he's suspended, then I know what it is. And then coming around, boy, it's been a joy to coach this team the last 2 weeks. Now that we got you-know-who out of here, it's been a joy. And this team has played so different. And you beat Oklahoma State in a game that TCU really gave you because you were going to go to the hills of hell with Quentin Grimes until luckily the rules of the game got you out. And then you beat West Virginia, who's awful. Like, come on, man. The way they're doing this is gross to me.
College basketball on the air coming up on Saturday. Kansas State takes on the aforementioned Oklahoma State. Coverage starts at 2 o'clock this Saturday right here on 610 Sports Radio. Same time on Sunday, Royals and A's spring training baseball, 2 o'clock right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Eric Skoglund, when asked by our own Cody Tapp about admitting to the PED suspension to Dayton Moore, got so emotional he had to step out of the press conference for a solid 3 minutes. To return and say this.
It was a relief. I was just going through a lot the past couple months because I knew I didn't do anything maliciously. So having his support was a good feeling for me. Him knowing who I am personally and for me to have to accept an 80-game suspension for something I didn't maliciously do. So it was a relief to finally be able to tell someone and speak about it. And having his support definitely helped.
You could actually hear the tears in the throat of Eric Skoglund. I was talking to Cody. He said, no, it seemed genuine. But man, oh man, when I listened to the full quote of him explaining.
Without the hearing it, just reading it?
Not that, this more so.
Did you were you able to identify where it came from?
We have no idea. And that was the hardest part. Something got into my body without me knowing. It was scary. And it just kind of makes you think, you know, what could it have been? And that's the hardest part to deal with is not knowing. Because I'm not a guy that's going to cheat the game. I didn't do anything maliciously. It's not the type of person I am. It's not my character. It's not how I was raised. So it sucks. And we couldn't find anything. That's what's going to eat me for the rest of my career, and it's not a good feeling at all.
What's the theory? Is it like a protein shake, vitamins?
I wish I had an answer. I mean, I went to Smoothie King like twice, but I don't think, I really don't know what it could have been. If I would have known, I would have appealed it. I would have tried to fight it in any way I could. I was obsessed with the bank statements and trying to find anything that I ate that was unique or out of the ordinary, but I think the most I did was eat Chick-fil-A or Chipotle was, you know, the...
All right, so that's Eric Skoglund. The crime puts you on your heels, but man, I've heard so many guys in his situation say, I didn't do this maliciously, this isn't how I was raised, all I had was Chipotle, this and that. The crying makes you immediately feel bad for him, but the excuses, I've heard him a million times.
Yeah, I know, we got to hit one. In 2019... you don't get to me with PEDs and how much you're tested and how serious this is and what we know the penalty is. You don't get an excuse for being ignorant, even if that's the case. I believe these cats know what's going on in their bodies. And you don't get an excuse for being ignorant. Coming up, there's not a lot. This, you know, sometimes we don't agree on a lot of things in this show, but collectively, we really feel sorry for Mike Moustakas.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back in to Show and Vern from the 816. I bet my bet says that the chicken that Chick-fil-A uses. Well, hold on, guys. See, if I were Chick-fil-A, I would come out against this. Chick-fil-A or Chipotle, I'd come out hard against this.
What Eric Skoglund said?
But does it matter because it's Eric Skoglund?
Yeah, no one knows who he is.
Like, Serta, could he walk in here right now and you would recognize, oh, that's Eric Skoglund?
No. Zero chance.
I would.
I know his
really?
Name. That is it.
No.
You're not just putting on?
Eric Skoglund? No.
I would.
No disrespect to Skoglund.
Because you were the Royals.
But we also. So the game against Verlander, him walking off the field when he waved his hat.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
Oh, yeah, you don't like the Royals or baseball. I forgot.
No, I listened to it right here on 610 Sports Radio.
And they didn't describe.
Me too.
They did. I've heard Fizz
they didn't
describe.
What he looked like?
Yes, and him walking off the mound.
No, Fizz didn't sit there and say, yeah, man, a 6'3" guy.
Oh, I guarantee he did.
He's got no sideburns, a nice cut here.
He's very, if he didn't, very student, average looking.
They didn't describe what he looked like. Fizz, you're talking about he describes people's looks?
Yes.
He does not.
You're making your big league debut head to toe. Let's hear it, Fizz.
He might say what he's wearing. He's not going to describe what he looks like.
If
and
he
not
doesn't, Stu will do it in between innings.
And not describing enough to where I could see what he
Denny,
looked like.
No. Eric Skoglund, giving you the numbers.
Eric Skoglund looks like at least four different people that I went to high school with.
I could see that.
Do any of them know you?
He's a very average-looking dude.
Do any of them know you?
Probably not.
You got a first name for any of these guys? Because I feel like you're making it up, and I feel like you're about to make up a first name.
But no, I feel like I could try to scroll through Facebook and find some of these people.
You know, never
Serta, do you think you are more recognizable in the streets of Kansas City than Eric Skoglund?
That's a good one. Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. Is Steve Serta, our great producer, more recognizable out in the streets than Eric Skoglund?
After this combine that we got coming up on Sunday, I will be.
That's cheap.
Without a doubt.
That's cheap.
Yeah, all next week.
That's cheap.
We will be unveiling the results of the 6:10 combine all next week at...
That's cheap.
10:30 here on Show and Vern. Everyone from the drive.
That's
Fesco in the morning and Show and Vern.
That's
will
Mick,
be in studio for that.
That's Mick Foley cheap. That is a cheap pop that that is just.
Serta, I think you're going to do very poorly in this 6:10 combine.
See, it's all about that quick burst. None of it has to do with long distances. I'm not very strong, but I'm stronger than I look. I've got that quick initial burst.
That.
I just can't run for long periods of time.
You've been purposely destroying your body now for 10 years. There's no way you have a quick burst. The only quick burst you have
no way in hell.
On Sunday will be a quick burst into your pants.
The route that these last three messages for Serta from the, Denny, from the 785. In reference to Steve Serta being more known out there by looks than Eric Skoglund, ball one. From the 785, jumping out first with no way in hell. And then from the 816, who is Serta? And then from the 816, I recognized Serta the other day at Updown.
Nice.
So you went to Updown without telling nobody?
I went there like 2 weeks ago, I think. I haven't been there recently.
That person said the other day. And
well, I wasn't there the other day. I was definitely there like 2 weeks ago.
Your track record feels like you're lying.
Mike Moustakas, when asked about another disappointing offseason, he says it was tough, obviously, but with what happened in California, in Malibu, it kind of put a lot of things in perspective A lot of people lost their homes and have nothing. End quote, Mike Moustakas.
God, he does it all right. Right? He's really turning on. I was thinking after he signed this deal.
Did that land? Here's how bad things are for Mike Moustakas as he lives out most little boys' dreams, and that is to be a professional baseball player, a world champion. You're finally about to be paid. His response is, I mean, wasn't great, but at least my house didn't burn down.
Yeah. You didn't think that landed well? I think he showed instead of his money getting paid to him, he talked about the
lies.
He
got another 1-year deal and they moved him to second base.
110. That's the thing. He got 1 year, $10 million. And we thought at least he might be able to let it go for a week and get off keto. I mean, because, you know, he was, you know, he had really lost a lot of weight. We felt like
Bruce is on keto?
I don't know. He's on something because he lost a lot of weight. We believe trying to keep himself so he can get a deal and people can feel like he'll be realistic about his weight. And then we thought when he get that deal, he'd just cut it loose and start eating all the carbs he wanted to, maybe going to Bubo de Beppo or pizza or whatever.
He would eat an entire pizza to himself.
We thought he would be able to. Now, it's only a 1-year deal, and they're moving him to second base.
He's going
to
be one of the heaviest second basemen
in
of all
history
time.
The history of the game. Right there with who's heavy second baseman?
No, I'm not joking.
Is Jeff Kent on that?
Jonathan
list?
Schoop, Miguel Cairo, and Caleb Cowart weighed as much as Mike Moustakas.
Chico Lean was kind of squatty and heavy.
Moose is pushing 230, 235.
Maybe.
At second base. And they took his number from him. Obviously, you're not wearing 8. He knew that when he went over there because of Ryan Braun.
No.
So he transitioned over to the 18. He's not 18. He's now 11.
They took that from him? Maybe he wanted to go to 11. That was the only.
He said he did. He said he wanted to go to 11.
You don't believe it, do you? I'm just saying. I just thought for he would have that day where he could, I don't know, maybe get like chicken fried chicken with a little bit of the country gravy, like heavy on the black pepper, southern gravy with some good mashed, like rustic mashed potatoes where the skin is still kind of on it.
So you're just gone.
But they smashed it and they put that gravy over the top of it, getting some nice solid green beans with ham hock in that puppy. Also, maybe dessert. Maybe he slid into like
a
bourbon pecan pie with that. Oh God, with that vanilla bean ice cream, the specks of that vanilla bean just cascading down off of that with a little hot caramel
coming up on Sunday.
Then maybe he got a cherry Coke, like real cherries, like the real cherry Coke in it, where you could see a tinge of red in it.
Hunter Dozier and the Royals,
man,
take on the Oakland Athletics.
A nice country roll with it. Good heavens.
Matt Olson,
butter over it.
Matt Chapman and the Oakland Athletics square off with Ryan O'Hearn and the Kansas City Royals. Spring training baseball returns Sunday, 2:00, right here on 610 Sports Radio. We heard from Cam Newton earlier. Cam Newton was live in Charlotte for the NBA All-Star Game. Mm. Since the news of Colin Kaepernick came down on Friday, many people have begun speculating where Kaepernick could land. I heard some people mention Robert Kraft and the Patriots could take a flyer on Kaepernick. Of course, that would make sense, try to flip him into something. Mm. But also the Carolina Panthers, who just came to an agreement on a 3-year deal for Eric Reid, who was also a part of the collusion case against the NFL with Colin Kaepernick. I like the idea of Kaepernick going to Carolina because we're not sure about the health this year of Cam Newton.
Just had surgery.
Cam Newton is a big enough figure where no one's going to look at Colin Kaepernick and say, oh, he may push for the starting job. No, we all know that's Cam's job so long as he's healthy. My only question with Carolina would be, would Cam even embrace it? Would Cam step out of the spotlight and say, I'm no longer the biggest story on this team. That's fine if all the cameras run to Colin every single day.
Oh, no, I think he would do the opposite. I think he would try to see himself as being a part of the biggest story. I think he would look at himself and try to place himself. And when I say this, Vern, I don't think that Cam is being inauthentic while he's doing this. I think he really would be doing this in a way where he's trying to – I think he would try to make himself as like a big brother type of thing feeling to him. Although I think he's probably younger than him. But I think he would make himself as like a big brother type of deal. Like, hey, man, this is my city. I got you. You know, I was the former league MVP. I'm, you know, the bigger star, you know, on the field and stuff wise. I think he would embrace it because, one, I think Cam cares about a lot of the issues, like all of the issues that Kaepernick has spoken about and Eric Reed has spoken about. He was a big reasoning and a person that I've heard they've gone to about Eric Reed coming as being a part of that team. I think he would totally embrace it. And I don't think he would see it as Cap overshadowing him. I think he would see it as him being a helpful tool. Like I think Donovan McNabb felt that way when Vic came over, even though they're completely two different circumstances. I think McNabb felt like he was somebody he could help take Vic underneath his wing.
We have some breaking news, Ron. I'm going to need you to shut up for a second. From ESPN's Jeff Passan, free agent star Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres.
Whoa! Holy nips!
We do not have details on the finances just yet, although over the weekend, Primetime Sports reported it was going to be an 8-year, $285 million deal. But all we know, all we're willing to say is what Jeff Passan of ESPN is reporting, and that is Manny Machado teaming up with Eric Hosmer in San Diego.
What a 1-2 punch that is. Lefty, righty, Manny playing short, right? Who's their shortstop?
I think they have one of some kid's
dad.
Yeah, some former player's kid, like Tatis, Fernando Tatis Jr. That's who it is.
Fernando Tatis has a kid in the league?
That's right.
So the dominoes are falling.
Fernando Tatis? Has the guy who
he's
hit
one of the
two
top
grand
prospects in the country.
Who hit two grand slams in one inning for Fernando Tatis?
No, the other one.
Oh, okay.
So the when's wrestler? Bryce Harper going to sign?
The wrestler? All right, coming
things are
up.
Heating up.
Coming up, I want you all to ponder this thought. Manny Machado, one of the biggest free agents in baseball, breaking news, just signed with Eric Hosmer's team, the San Diego Padres. Does anyone give a damn about that to talk about?
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Holy Tony Clark! What a ground rule double he hit. He was actually punished. By hitting that ground rule double, it would have scored two runs, but a big plate appearance by Tony Clark.
All right, shut up. Mark Feinsett of MLB.com.
Hold on. Let me get a little horniness here real quick.
No one cares about Tony Clark.
When he's the guy over the players, and that's what I think about, that playoff double he got that stopped. Anyway.
Oh, I think of him as a tiger.
Anyway. Vern, we just came back on the other side. It was just breaking news that Manny Machado had signed, agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres. And we went on, as we went to break, we said, does anyone even give a damn?
Of course people care.
Make a move.
It was never that good, all right? Damn, San Diego got that money. Nope, nope, nope. I could care less. Now, well, then, what the beautiful and the luckiest girl in the world, KB, what the beautiful Josh Vernier's about to report, I think makes this, a man, a huge deal. Almost about to preach.
What you mean to say is you couldn't care less. Because if you could care less.
I'm just reading the text, man. All right.
Correct it for him.
No.
Mark Feinsett of MLB.com, according to a league source, it's a 10-year, $300 million contract.
Oh, boy.
The biggest free agent contract in the history of American sports.
So that means Bryce has to get more.
Sure. I mean, I think Machado's better. Machado plays a more prime position than Bryce Harper.
I think,
but Bryce should try.
But I think Bryce is obviously, to me, the more marketable person.
Yes, no question.
Bryce is the one you get him in on your team, and in your city, he revitalizes anything that could be down.
Not if you're not winning.
I'm talking about right now to start. And
yeah, but that to me that lasts 2.5 months. That lasts to the after the All-Star break. Once the All-Star game is done, he's doffed his cap wearing your team's hat. then that honeymoon time is over.
That but
then it's football season.
But then buying jersey sales and that stuff will not go, not in 2 months. I mean, if he signed with the Giants or teams we're hearing about, or he signed with the Dodgers,
Ken Rosenthal now confirms Machado to Padres 10-year, $300 million.
That's the largest contract in North American sports?
History of American sports.
History of American sports. Yeah, Bryce has to top that.
You posed the question. Do you not care?
I do. I love baseball and sports. And I think it's interesting.
But Kansas City doesn't like Machado because of the Ventura thing.
The Padres don't become more interesting. To me, I think it becomes interesting with the amount of money he got, and then this sets the driver's seat to me for Harper. And I think now we know there is a limited amount of teams that can go get Harper, and it will be teams that I think are in places where it would matter more.
The White Sox.
Chicago, yeah. Chicago is not the Cubs. I don't know. Right. But Chicago would matter more than him going to San Diego. I think the Dodgers are obviously in play. The Giants in San Francisco are obviously in play.
Phillies.
The Phillies, another great place. From the 816, Bryce isn't good enough to even sniff that Machado contract. Yeah, I mean, I disagree.
He's very good. I wouldn't say he's one of the five best players, but you are right. He is the most marketable, the most well-known. I think he's the best thing baseball has going for it is Bryce Harper.
Yes.
So if I'm baseball, I want him in L.A. I want him with the Cubs. Yeah, I don't want him in Philadelphia. But it does look like they're building something nice out there. So
Philly's good. Philly's good enough for me. There's history and tradition, and it's in one of your big markets. Philly is good in the NL East. You have honestly, Philly to me would be one of the better places because you like them in that Eastern time zone, and you can play them in more games. What am I talking about? Like baseball's really going to market in that manner. I'm thinking of it the way of how TV has been hurt with LeBron not being in the Eastern time zone very much, but baseball.
Baseball's a regional sport.
Yeah. No, it doesn't really.
I mean, you're seeing from our text line right now, it's a regional sport. Do you care more about the Jake Diekman and Drew Storen signing or the Manny Machado signing? It's likely what affects the Royals. I do hope that this shuts up a lot of big leaguers and their complaints about quote-unquote collusion with the owners. You're the idiots that gave it all away in negotiations. Don't start being the classic millennial where you sign a contract, then you want to complain that the contract isn't fair. Maybe negotiate a better deal, Justin Verlander, Whit Merrifield, and the rest of you. Stop complaining because Manny Machado still got his because he deserves it. Mike Moustakas doesn't deserve more than what he got.
That feels really sort of like. That felt like you've been holding that take in.
I have.
And you just wanted to get that off. No, this makes me excited for Harper because I want Bryce Harper to be big. I want Bryce.
What do you mean big? You just slammed baseball. You know what it is. Quit acting like it's going to be. See, this is my problem with people like you. People that like baseball, but want it to be something. Baseball's not changing in that it's going to become a national game. The game itself, innings 1 through 9, they don't lend themselves to being. The only way it becomes a national game is if you slice it down to a 60-game schedule.
I think baseball can be a bigger deal. I do.
I don't know how. I don't believe.
And I think players, and I think personalities and athletes
but
have something
how?
To do with
Everyone
it.
Everyone says baseball needs to change. And what's going to be the result of whatever made-up change that people aren't presenting, this proper change that's going to make it a national sport? What? Everyone says baseball changed. Vern, they have no idea what's going
to
come of it.
I'm not even saying that baseball needs to be on the NBA or football level. I'm just saying I wish it were bigger. I wish it was something that more people gave a damn about, just a little bit more. And I think having a big-time star, when Derek Jeter was in the game, I felt like people cared about it more. All right? And I think he has potential to be a really huge star in baseball. And I think for baseball, it matters where he goes. And I think that is a deal for it. So, yeah, I think baseball can be bigger than it is right now. And I think
baseball was bigger when Jeter was around. Baseball was bigger when McGuire was taking steroids. Baseball was bigger after the 9/11 tragedy. But baseball since the 70s has basically been what it's always been. The last 30 years, baseball hasn't made really any, other than the wild card, bringing more regional teams into the conversation of August and September. Baseball hasn't changed that much.
But Vern, they also haven't had players and personalities. There's no Griffey. There's no Jeter. Hell, Big Poppy's gone.
Yeah, but that's even when Griffey was around, I think you're just remembering it different than what it was. We were just young at that time and looked up to those guys. The people that were our age in 93, 94 liked baseball just as much. And you also have to factor in the NFL and the NBA and how much they have grown.
Yes, they have.
How much they've learned from Jordan.
Vern, I think you are the best. I'm not even kidding when I say this. I think you're the best baseball mind we have at this station. You're out of your mind if you don't think Ken Griffey. And then when they had Griffey and Jeter, baseball wasn't bigger, and a lot of it had to do with the personalities. I cannot agree with you on that. And I think baseball has lacked it. Their best player has been Mike Trout. He's got no personality. I think that hurts you. Newsflash.
Serta's newsflash.
While the New York Giants were reportedly shopping wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. last offseason, it was an aggressive pursuit by the New England Patriots that apparently got them to back up. From Chris Sims on NBC Sports Radio, noted the Patriots' interest caused the Giants to get cold feet on a potential deal and indicated the team didn't want the negative repercussions of sending Beckham to the eventual Super Bowl champion.
Because you know you'd end up getting plugged by Belichick.
How close are you? You end up getting what?
Plugged.
I'm not supposed to respond.
What?
What do you mean by when you say
back door?
Yeah. I got him.
Belichick exactly calls and's like, hey, I want to make a deal with you. I'm like, no. No, I wouldn't make any deals with Bill Belichick because
sorry,
you know he's coming out on top. You're telling me if you're a general manager and Bill Belichick calls you, you're not going, oh, you're trying to plug me, Bill. Uh-uh. Nope.
Been plugging the AFC East for 20 years.
I don't even know. I can't even get my point off because I just was so caught off. Okay. There's an NFL player that should be looked at as somebody who's a plugger. I'm sorry, I can't even get it.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Yeah, that was uncalled.
Ben Roethlisberger is one of the biggest asshats in the history of sports, and I don't feel like people, the majority of the sports world, looks at him that way. I think the majority of people, Vern, still view him as more in a positive light than a negative light. He's an awful teammate. Everything that has been documented and talked about that he does or has done with his legal issues in the past with women, awful. Like, but I still feel like the majority, and that's just the public, whether that's media or whatever, he is still talked about in a much more positive sense. I saw Antonio Brown, who is going to be the number one person, I believe, when it's all said and done, thought of to be guilty as the reason why that thing has crumbled, when I think it is clearly, easily Ben Roethlisberger. Easily. He did a 9-minute thing that he recorded earlier, but he did tweet this out in response to what's caused the conflict between you and Ben Roethlisberger. No conflict, just a matter of respect, mutual respect. He has an owner mentality like he can call out anybody, including coaches. Players know, but they can't say anything about it. Otherwise, their meal ticket is gone. It's a dirty game within a game. And many people, there's just so many. It don't even have to be reports that he's a bad teammate, Vernon. He just comes out weekly and places blame on everyone else, whether that be a receiver this week for running the wrong route, a running back, the coaches, the offensive coordinator didn't give me the right play call. Like, he doesn't, as we said, unlike Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't diffuse drama. He heightens it and puts gasoline all over it. But it's still funny to me. Like I said, I think Antonio Brown will be the one blamed for the demise of this Steelers team. But I still feel like he is thought of majority in much more of a positive light from the public than he is a negative light. And I'll be honest with you, I know there's a lot of things that go into stuff, but I am surprised even with Ben, Vern, that he is thought of, and that he is just not trashed. Not even not trashed, but more thought of in a negative light than he is in a positive light. I'm really surprised over the years.
Ron, the Steelers have sided with Ben Roethlisberger. Right, he said it in the tweet, and he's right, that he does have an owner's mentality. Roethlisberger knows, just like Tom Brady knows in New England, that I can do and say whatever I want because the owner has my back. Tomlin's not going to say anything to me, just like Tom Brady knows that Bill Belichick can't do anything to him. Tom Brady uses his power to motivate teammates and then, for the most part, promotes his brand, but stays out of the limelight. Takes the high road, but at times does the aw, golly gee, shucks thing at his press conferences. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't follow that same line of thinking. No, if there's a problem, he's going to out it. But Ben does it in a way that isn't, for the outside football fan,
really,
he does it in a way that isn't so very transparent. When he says, when asked about Le'Veon Bell, you know, we need guys that are here. I'm not worried about guys that aren't here. People can understand that. When he says something akin to, yeah, we don't need Le'Veon, we have the Connor kid who's carrying the ball quite well. People hear that and think, yeah, well, he's right. Connor is carrying the ball well. When he comes out and says Antonio Brown ran the wrong route, people hear that and say, well, maybe he ran the wrong route.
Not that he's placing blame on his teammate for throwing an interception.
No, I think most fans take Ben at his word with what he's saying. That, yes, this me-first wide receiver, this diva wide receiver, ran the wrong route. Ben is the one with two rings. Ben is the one that is explaining it to the average football fan. All of that, the fact that most fans don't know about the dynamic inside of a locker room and how you keep other guys' names out of your mouth unless you're saying something positive, when you couple the fact that he hasn't said anything blatantly disrespectful and you couple that with he's white, I don't know how in the world you're shocked by this.
I feel like...
Like, let Cam Newton do that and it would be different. Ben Roethlisberger having the white going for him and also the backdoor slams to his teammates, I think that misses a lot of sports fans. It definitely misses Steelers fans because they're with ownership. They love Ben. He's brought them two rings.
But see, like, listen, I always know there's a race angle really to almost any part of it. But I still think when you think about his past and his history with the allegations that have been posed against him multiple times, He's so much of a scumbag, and I disagree with you, Vern.
Think that stuff comes up, man?
Obviously, I know it doesn't. But I'm still thinking to the overall public. I still think, Vern, that he is blatant enough to me that I think he does say stuff that football fans and sports fans can understand. Like, that's an a-hole thing to do. Like, he's been pretty blatant on his blame of Mike Tomlin. He's been pretty blatant of his blame on Todd Haley and play calls. What was that play last year? I forgot, some game they lost when he was, against the Steelers. Against the Patriots. He said, well, they didn't get the play call in fast enough for me. And that's why I didn't know if I was supposed to spike it or not. Like, he has been blatant enough, in my opinion, that people can understand that he is a, I can't say that, he is a jackass.
He basically does what I do. Like, whenever it is obviously my fault, I just displace the blame on other people. Ben Roethlisberger's doing that, but at a much higher level than I am. He did that this past season to rookie wide receiver James Washington. He overthrew him. Washington probably could have made a play on the ball, but it's all James Washington's fault when he doesn't catch the ball.
But I think
it was a poorly thrown football by Ben Roethlisberger.
But I think everyone who listens to this show knows that you're full of it. When you come out and say stuff like, oh, I just didn't have time. Well, I'm doing a lot back here. Like, a lot of the people listening know Serta's full of it. Like, everyone knows it's your fault that you could have done a lot of things better Tuesday morning donuts.
I am very busy
now. But you can just listen to the show and understand that it's poorly ran. When you're watching the Steelers, people don't really understand football. Like, people don't understand the X's and O's of football.
To go
that
with
Pulley, well.
But go
you
to
can
Pulley
listen
Roar.
To this show and understand.
But to go with Pulley Run, though,
it's
Vern,
rough.
The Steelers always have problems, though, right? People can see that. They always have drama. They always do. You can see that. And so many, it doesn't matter how many times players come out and push to him. He'll throw his offensive line under the bus. Everybody. I think people can notice for years that he's throwing people under the bus. I think people can notice it. I don't know. I am surprised. I am surprised that many people, that it's still more of a positive outlook about Ben Roethlisberger. I get what you're saying. I agree with you about Cam, and I understand that Cam has done a lot less and has been crushed. As I said, I believe there's a race element to anything. But still, even with that, I am still surprised. I'm still surprised that Ben still gets away with the public image that he does.
Sir, I didn't mean anything mean by that.
I think he did.
Well, I'm sorry, man.
I'm really busy right now.
Okay.
That Esky montage might not get done.
You did say that. Well, thanks for giving that away. Coming up, I was really nervous about this topic, Vern, that we were going to do coming into the day. I was really nervous if I would say something that would get me in trouble. Then we had our pre-show meeting, and you said, and I quote, God, I know I'm going to say something stupid. So I feel a lot better about this. I think you're the one we need to watch out for.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.